It's Monday, January 13th, AD 2020. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Iran's Revolutionary Guard on Saturday acknowledged that it, quote-unquote, accidentally shot down the Ukrainian jetliner that crashed last week, killing all 176 people aboard, after the Iranian government had repeatedly denied Western accusations and mounting evidence that it was responsible, reports the Associated Press. Exodus 20, verse 16 says, "You shall not lie." The plane was shot down early Wednesday, hours after Iran launched a ballistic missile attack on two military bases housing U.S. troops in Iraq, in retaliation for the killing of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani in an American airstrike in Baghdad. No one was hurt in the attack on the U.S. bases. Iran had promised harsh revenge after Soleimani's death, but instead of killing American soldiers, its forces downed a civilian plane in which most passengers were Iranian and none survived. General Amir Ali Hajizadeh, the head of the Guard's Aerospace Division, said his unit accepts full responsibility for the shootdown. In an address broadcast by state TV, he said that when he learned about the downing of the plane, quote, "I wished I was dead," end quote. He said an officer made the, quote, "bad decision," end quote, to open fire on the plane after mistaking it for a cruise missile, noting, quote, "we were prepared for an all-out conflict," end quote. The plane, en route to the Ukrainian capital of Kiev, was carrying 167 passengers and 9 crew members, including 82 Iranians, 57 Canadians, including many Iranians with dual citizenship, and 11 Ukrainians. And Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said this:
"We need full clarity on how such a horrific tragedy could have occurred. Families are seeking justice and accountability, and they deserve closure. I reiterated to President Rouhani that it is absolutely necessary that Canada participate in this investigation. We expect the full cooperation of Iranian authorities."
A group of Iranian protesters demanded Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei to step down on Saturday after Tehran said that its military had mistakenly shot down a Ukrainian plane, reports the Jerusalem Post. Listen. An Elizabeth Warren presidential campaign rally in Dover, New Hampshire, was interrupted by a supporter of President Trump protesting her position on Iran and Qassem Soleimani, reports Fox News.
"It's so good to be here with you.
This is my grandfather's World War II. You're siding with ISIS. You're siding with Iran. Why are you siding with terrorists, Warren?"
In case you could not understand him, he said, quote, "My grandfather was killed in World War II. You're siding with ISIS. You're siding with Iran. What are you siding with terrorists for?" End quote. He also said, referring to Iranian General Soleimani, quote, "He killed 600 Marines. We killed a terrorist. Trump is great. You're a fraud," end quote. The protester appeared to be referencing Warren's reluctance to characterize Iranian General Qassem Soleimani, who was killed last week in a strike ordered by Trump, as a terrorist. In an appearance on The View on Tuesday, Warren avoided calling Soleimani a terrorist, but eventually said that he, quote-unquote, of course was. Stay tuned for a Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast, with information about the rebuilding process in the Bahamas after Hurricane Dorian and the challenges they're facing there. Allies of President Trump are pursuing an effort to acquire right-leaning news channel One America News Network in a bid to shake up a conservative media market that has been dominated by Fox News, reports the Wall Street Journal. The investment firm Hicks Equity Partners is looking to acquire the channel and is pitching other wealthy GOP donors to arrange a bid of roughly $250 million for the channel's parent company. The firm is owned by the family of Thomas Hicks Jr., co-chairman of the Republican National Committee, and a close friend of Donald Trump Jr. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, caused an uproar last week when they announced that they would step back from their roles as senior members of the royal family, seek financial independence, and live part of the year in North America, reports the New York Times. Critics suggest the couple is cheapening the royal brand and will compromise themselves for money. According to one report, during tense talks before Christmas, senior members of the royal family accused the couple of already signing a deal with firms including Disney. A magnitude 5.9 earthquake shook Puerto Rico on Saturday, causing millions of dollars of damage along the island's southern coast, where previous recent quakes have toppled homes and schools, reports the Associated Press. Puerto Rican Governor Wanda Vasquez estimated that damage from Tuesday's earthquake would cost $110 million, with a total of 559 structures affected. Thankfully, no injuries or deaths were reported. Australian authorities have arrested 183 people on bushfire-related offenses after they determined that arsonists lit 103 of the blazes. 98 culprits have been identified, 67 of them juveniles, reports the Sydney Morning Herald. 25 people have died, thousands of homes have been destroyed, 13 million acres of land have burned, twice the size of the state of Maryland, and hundreds of millions of animals and livestock have been killed, reports the Epoch Times. And finally, after experiencing years of childhood loneliness in the foster care system from the age of 12, Jessica Benzekine, a single mother, has just adopted six young boys into her home, reports GoodNewsNetwork.org. In addition to co-parenting two biological sons with her ex-husband, Benzekine welcomed the six boys from the foster care system several years ago. Four of the boys are biological brothers, currently ranging in age from 8 to 18. The other two boys, aged 4 and 6, are also related. Last week, the judge who was touched by her act of compassion said this:
"I am very pleased to announce that I am granting your petitions for adoption."
Choking back emotion, the 46-year-old mother said,
"I need them. They keep me grounded."
Acts 20, verse 35 says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Monday, January 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2020. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. Hurricane Dorian was the strongest hurricane to strike Grand Bahamas since 1851, and the churches on the island are still feeling the effects of it. Many are still living in their own front yards. Others are fighting mold, and still more are unable to obtain fresh water. The Worldview spoke to Pastor Kenneth Lane of Lucaya Presbyterian Church from the Grand Bahama, the hardest hit island during the hurricane. He shared the biggest dilemmas Bahamian people are still facing. Lane explained that the 4 feet of water which flooded the homes became a problem as well.
Other things that are just continuing issues for us, one of which is huge, is mold. My wife is outside in the back porch taking the dresser out, and we're unloading everything from the dresser and spraying it down for mold and trying to get all that stuff so that it would just kind of get everything cleaned up. We've had mold on the walls here. Some of the people here still don't have electricity.
Pastor Lane shared that many are still even without power on the eastern side of the island, and they're running generators.
Kind of the eastern end of the island. We're on Grand Bahama, and the eastern end of the island, which is closest to Abaco, which was hit very, very hard by the hurricane. That end of the island still has not been powered. By that, I mean that the power company doesn't have power out there. And from what I understand, they're not planning on doing it simply because there are so many poles between here and there that are down. It's not cost effective for them. So they're looking at trying to think of another way to power that end of the island. They might do solar, they might do something. But in the meantime, everybody that lives down there and all the businesses down there are having to use generators. That's pretty rough for them.
Lane shared that there are still people camping in their own front yards after their houses were flooded with 4 feet of water.
One person I was talking to said that this is in the hundreds of households. People are basically camping out either in their own yards or in their house because they don't have power, they don't have water, they are, you know, and all of their furniture, some of them, has been washed away. And by way, I don't mean necessarily that it left the premises, but that it was soaked and ruined and destroyed by water.
But Lane did tell The World View that he is encouraged by the progress of the rebuilding efforts.
We just went down to the hardware store, which the store itself was flooded. So now they're selling things instead of out of the store, they're selling things out of the warehouse that was behind the store. You know, everything's just on big open shelves. And, you know, that's just kind of how they're selling stuff right now. People are trying to get stuff back up and running. We have snowbirds down here. So we've had several families come in after Christmas, which has been nice because they come and they're kind of checking on their condos and making sure everything's okay. But with them comes a little bit of a boost to the economy. They come and they spend money and they eat at the restaurants and they buy things that need to be repaired.
He said that there are ongoing needs that people can assist with.
First of all, let me just say that we appreciate remaining in your thoughts and prayers. And I know that sometimes seems like a cliche, but that's so important for folks to remember us and to keep us in our prayers. That's very important to us. I would say continue to support the relief efforts financially. If you know of an organization that's here working, you can send funds directly to them. You can send funds directly to some churches. I know our church has a way that, you know, if you contact us, we can help make that happen.
Lane asked that people pray for those struggling with depression and fear after the hurricane.
I'm seeing a lot of depression. People are just overwhelmed by all of the need. You know, imagine if everything that you had were taken away overnight. And not just that, but there are a lot of people who are still in fear for their lives. I talked to someone the other day who said their child is afraid to go in the water. The water came into their house. One person even said they knew of kids that are afraid to take a bath. I talked to a lady this week who said that, you know, her house, they live in a two-story house. They had to take shelter in the second floor because the first floor was completely flooded. So they were up in the second story. And while they were up there, I mean, there was debris floating past, and they have a kind of a porch area that's on pillars that go down to the ground. And a boat came that had been moored somewhere and had broken loose, came by, and the flood hit that pillar and hit it so hard that it just rattled their house.
Please pray that the Bahamian people would find their comfort and hope in Christ Jesus, and that this would be an opportunity for the churches to share the gospel of Christ. Pray through the verses of 2 Corinthians 1, verses 4 and 5 for them. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." This has been another Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.